It's very strict. Yes, I mean, it's one of the things that in terms of training our mind, you have to pay attention. You can only train, you train your mind by training body and speech. And it's really interesting in the Vinaya, the discipline of the monks that the Buddha laid down. There's no rules about what your mind is doing, because you can't really force it. You have to learn how. Just as I was walking in, it was Ajahn Yaniko was relating the reflection or remembrance that I had of Ajahn Chah teaching that you have to learn to teach the mind, not just control it. So it's that learning how to teach the mind, rather. So there's no. You can't. Your mind is oftentimes all over the place and distracted. But what you can do is look after your actions of body and speech. You can take responsibility for that, and you have to learn how to take responsibility for that. But if there was, say, offenses for what went on in our minds, then we would be confessing offenses all the time. But we can learn from it. That's the main thing, is that you can learn from that, and you. So it's a process of learning. That's the teaching of the Lord Buddha. It's a process of learning, say, as opposed to just something to believe in or have faith in or something to hold desperately to as a belief system. You have to learn from it. And that's something Ajahn Chah is our teacher here, and certainly Master Hua as well. He just dedicated a tremendous amount of time to trying to get people to learn how to be good human beings. So today, or yesterday, was the day of the anniversary, commemoration, remembrance of Master Hua's Nibbana, his Nirvana, and many, many people came up for that. And people come up every year to CTTB. So this is part of the group, part of your. It's a whole weekend of events of being able to plug into CTTB and then to come up here as well. Wonderful to have you all here and have the. This on this auspicious occasion, because as I say, it's the auspicious occasion is for CTTB, but it's also an auspicious occasion for our monastery, Abhayagiri, as today we're commemorating Ajahn Chah's birthday, which is actually tomorrow. But we thought, well, it's a Sunday, people come up, it's a good opportunity, good day, and then it's. It's also Father's Day, so it's a good as our spiritual father for our monastery, recollecting Ajahn Chah. It's a great, a lovely opportunity. Is this the 29th year of Master Hua's passing? And you see the fact that everybody is here, the effect of Master Hua's life, pulling these people from different places and being able to be a focal point for goodness. This is something that is really quite special and worthy of coming to City of 10,000 Buddhas and joining in with the ceremonies there. And it's also great that there's children here today, just being in the, seeing these places of practice. So today as many people probably know, Master Hua actually offered half of the property that is Abhayagiri. He was Master Hua is the reason why we are here on this site. It's a piece of property that he had purchased and hadn't used, and as he was getting sick and close to passing, then he made the gesture to offer this to our Western senior teacher of Ajahn Chah, Ajahn Sumedho. And Ajahn Sumedho went and paid respects to Master Hua, received the offering, and then we, about a year later, we were able to come and begin settling in here after having purchased the adjacent property, which is what we are on right now, is what we purchased. And then when you went up the road to go to the up to the top, then you were on the property that Master Hua offered. So it's these are pieces of property that are tightly together, and they go all the way back to the top of the ridge in this mountain. So we've got basically a whole valley, which is very fortunate for a forest monastery. Okay, so today being Ajahn Chah's commemoration of his birthday, it's 109 years since he was born. And he was born in 1918, which I think is the same year that Master Hua was born. And I thought to give a reflection on Ajahn Chah and his teaching, and particularly from a perspective of, say Ajahn Chah's perspectives on Buddhist practice, and things that he would emphasize that tended to not be, and tends not to be emphasized very much in a kind of American or modern Buddhist context. But I think which are really essential, and I think probably these same themes would be similar to things that Master Hua himself would be emphasizing as well. But one of the main ones is the beginning, as the aspect of the emphasis that Ajahn Chah placed on virtue. In Pali, it's sila. And sometimes sila is translated as morality, and morality in English has really bad, not very good connotations, because it can be so like moralistic. But Ajahn Chah's approach to and his vision of sila was more about how to live with integrity and to base one's actions and way of living on a fundamental human goodness. And sila and virtue is fundamentally how we live together, how we can live together as human beings in the world in a way that's actually comfortable and harmonious. And there's an image that he used was, he said, in Thailand, and this is a quote from here, it's things that I pulled together to reflect on today because I didn't trust my memory. He said, in Thailand, the millipedes are really big. They have a lot of legs. You'd think that with many legs, they would trip over each other and it would really be difficult, but they don't. Those legs all work together. They move along pretty smoothly. So then Ajahn Chah says, in the same way, it's possible to live together harmoniously as a community, as a society, as within a culture, on a social level, and in stepping back from our tendency from selfishness, and a sense of harmony is actually facilitated. So sila is not just a lot of rules to be followed, but they're guidelines for how human beings can live together, not creating harm for each other and fostering a sense of trust and well-being, like in the same way that a millipede that's got all these legs, you think, should trip over each other. But it's in the same way that as human beings, if we really live together with virtue and sila, then everything can be harmonious. The next quality that Ajahn Chah put a tremendous amount of emphasis on that tends not to be talked of very much is the emphasis on relinquishment. And in the scriptural language, it's called nekamma, and it means a relinquishment, a letting go, a releasing of things, a willingness to let go and to give up on, give away, give up And that's because especially in a, say, a culture that is so much based on gain and a sense of competition, American culture is very competitive. So there's oftentimes there's not a lot of letting go or relinquishment. And it's something that Ajahn Chah said, if you're going to be well established in virtue, then you have to let go of your unwholesome impulses. If you're going to make the mind peaceful and experience samadhi, you have to let go of your moods and your thoughts. If you're going to really be a person who embodies wisdom, you're going to have to let go of your views and opinions. And so that the whole path is based on letting go, and then the whole experience of fruition is based on letting go. And there's of course, there's a very well-known teaching of Ajahn Chah's that kind of expresses it really, really clearly. And Ajahn Chah said, if you let go a little, you get a little peace. If you let go a lot, you get a lot of peace. If you let go completely, you'll get complete peace. Yeah, the next kind of aspect of that Ajahn Chah used to emphasize, and it's about the fundamental nature of mind and the central place of awareness, of conscious awareness, and that act of being aware, being mindful, as being a central piece of the both the training and the experience of the fundamental nature of us as human beings, and looking at that, so that because sometimes we view that my mind is impure, I've got to purify it so I can experience freedom from the suffering that I have, and it's always I got to get rid of this to get that. I've got to get that, so I've got to get so I can experience something else that is more refined. And Ajahn Chah is fundamentally our fundamental nature of mind is pure and clear, and we need to realize it. And relying on the quality of awareness that is fundamental to our nature. So anyway, he said the image that he gives is of the mind being like a bell. He said on its own, a bell is silent and still, but makes a sound when it is struck. He said the mind is similar, but what it is struck with is sense contact and moods. And he said, and another favorite teaching of his, he said, one who gets lost in moods gets lost in the world. One who gets lost in the world gets lost in moods, so that these moods of mind are what confuse us as opposed to the fundamental nature of the mind. Silent and still. Okay, and the last quality or aspect, or perspective on Buddhist practice that Ajahn Chah used to emphasize that again tends not to be emphasized so much is just the opportunity or aspect of liberation, that we are capable of being free. We're capable of realizing the truth of the Buddha's teachings. It's not beyond any of our capabilities. That said, we still have to be willing to open up to a new or different perspective that is not so used to. But we have to challenge ourselves to be willing to take that step and see things in the light of Dhamma, as opposed to our own perspectives or habits, and the example that I thought to include today was from a circumstance when after Ajahn Sumedho had gone to England and he was setting up the monastery there, and then Ajahn Chah, those of us who lived with him, we always referred to Ajahn Chah as Lumpa. It's a term of respect and affection, kind of like Sherfu, but a really a respected elder. And then one of the monks who was, Western monks, who was living with Ajahn Chah with Lumpa at the time, wrote this letter to Ajahn Sumedho. And then this is a quote from the letter. And he said, "Well, Ajahn Sumedho, you're not going to believe this, but Lumpa decided he wanted to write you a letter," which is something very, very rare. Ajahn Chah never really wrote letters to people or corresponded. But Lumpa decided he wanted to write you a letter. So he asked me to take his dictation. And they said the letter from Ajahn Chah, or the message from Lumpa, was very brief. And this is what it said. And all he said was, "Whenever you have feelings of love or hate for anything whatsoever, these will be your aids and partners in building Bharami. The Buddha Dhamma is not to be found in moving forwards, nor in moving backwards, nor in standing still. This, Sumedho, is your place of non-abiding." And so it's giving Ajahn Sumedho the sense of, because oftentimes we spend so much effort into pushing, getting rid of stuff, trying to gain something, trying to gain samadhi, trying to gain insight, and being willing to be steady in this present moment and to take that as a place of non-abiding, not grasping, not clinging. And it's a really, unique way that Ajahn Chah had of using language and using imagery to point to a reality beyond our habits and our conditioning, but it's accessible to all of us all the time.